Saturday, only isolated showers, the high 82. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 64 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And good morning. Welcome into the Thursday edition. I got to figure out how to transition into that that new promo there, or intro, whatever you call it. But we appreciate you guys putting that together, Chase. But it's Thursday, and it's football tonight. So 4:30, you can get your ESPN going. You got Boise State and South Florida and the Big Ten Network at 5, Ohio and Rutgers, and you got East Carolina, NC State. So I got to go over to Dad's after practice today, make sure his three TVs are up and running. Now, if he changes one of them, Chase, then we might be in trouble. But
I ain't touched
them. You ain't going to touch
them. I tried them, but I couldn't get them.
You couldn't get them to work? All right, we'll figure it out. All right, we want to thank Yellowwood. We got some nice messages yesterday from people that enjoyed the segment with Jimmy Rain, and appreciate those emails, those app messages. I think a lot of people don't really know Jimmy Rain. They maybe have an opinion about him because he's an Auburn guy. But Justin said, love the Jimmy interview. It was very interesting. Thanks, Wimp and Barry. So you can thank Jimmy Rain for that. I do think he's an interesting guy, and he did have some pretty neat things to say. So if you missed that, I would recommend going and listening to that. But dial us up, 205-342-9904, getting close to giving another injury. Dad, three starters now for Alabama will be out with a running back, a lineman, and a defensive lineman there. So it's starting to pile up a little bit. So hopefully they recruited well and that depth's good. Because this first game is going to be rainy. We'll see what happens. Good morning, guys. How are y'all this morning?
What's the day, Barry? Wednesday or Thursday?
Day would be Thursday at my house. I think it's Thursday at yours as well. Yeah, Thursday. Jenny thought it was Friday because Matt came rolling down the steps in a Alabama game jersey. I said, well, don't we wear those on Fridays? She said, today is Friday. I'm like, no, woman. Today is Thursday. So, anyway, yeah. Nobody knows what day it is right now, Chase.
Well, the offensive tackle, Steve Hinn, is
defensive nose. He's kind of defensive middle, right there in the middle. Big one.
Whatever he is, he's out for the game. Yeah. For high ankle sprain. I don't tell you such to folks. High ankle sprains are hard. I don't care what kind of stuff you put on them, what kind of machines you use on them. They're a book of bears to get where you really feel very comfortable playing. Boy, basketball is always very, very tough. Barry's already mentioned it. Jack State, Central Florida, 20.5-point favorite. Central Florida is, and Alabama State at UAB. I don't know what kind of crowd they're going to have there. They're all kind of worked up about their team. It's a 7:30 game on ESPN Plus. Brian Kelly has said, now you better be watching, you gamblers are listening. His team is practiced like butter, but now they're hard-nosed. They're iron now, and they're improved. They've got a better roster. That's number one, folks. It's not that you improve playing with the roster you have. It's the roster that you get in that makes you better. Yes, you want to improve the ones you have, but you can improve it to some extent. But the people you have coming in, if they are as good as you think they are at Florida State and LSU, you gamblers better be careful. So that'll be interesting to see. I think the Ohio State, not Blue Page, but I think the Ohio State Texas game is so interesting because what they have to, what the loser has to do in the second game. I think the second game is as big as the first game if you're losing it. So they play easy teams. I think Texas plays San Jose.
Well, Arch's uncles be at the game. That would be Eli and Peyton. I don't think people realize that's not Eli or Peyton's son, obviously. Cooper's son. Will they be at the game? Will all the Mannings be at the game?
Oh, I think part of them will, part of them won't. I think Arch's got a bad, he's got a bad leg.
Does he?
And last time I saw him, yeah, he's kind of sometimes he uses a crutch. He's got a bad.
Oh, you're talking about the. You said Arch. I thought you were talking about the Texas quarterback.
Not the player. I'm sorry. No, not the player. But I think there's a possibility they will. It's, I always talk about the expectation factor on this show, and that's so big. He was born a Manning. The family was great football before he ever picked one up. And the expectation factor is so large that, you know, the recruiting factor was huge. And where he's going to go, Georgia, Alabama, Texas, wherever. And he went to Texas because of the quarterback coach, I think. And so we'll have to see. So it's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be a nervous time. It's going to be a nervous time for Alabama's quarterback as well. So we'll see what happens. We welcome your calls. We got a good show, I think, for you. And I don't know what questions you might have, but we got JC on. JC will always bring up a lot of things we can talk about. That's it.
All right. Yeah. So I think this might be. I don't want to say the best ever because I'm old, but this is a really good opening weekend for college football. There's a lot of good games. Clemson, as you talked about, Clemson, LSU. I mean, even those South Carolina, Virginia Tech's a good game. Alabama, Florida State, Texas, Ohio State. These are quality games right out of the chute. I know that would be going against your scheduling philosophy. They were showing the records in this decade of SEC teams. A lot of teams are 5-0, and we've talked about this a lot. Do you realize that LSU in this decade is 0-5 on opening games? 0-5. They have lost the first game the last 5 years, and they're playing Clemson, and they're projected to lose that game as well. They need to fix that schedule where they win. That first game.
Of course they do. Of course they do. LSU's, you know, the Fighting Tigers need to be the Fighting Tigers. They're going down to Clemson where they're not really fighting quite as much as LSU fights. I hope your son-in-law hears that. So
anybody that's talking about Florida State and what they're going to do, none of us in this state know any of them. They got 50 new players. 50. You have no clue what they got over on that roster. So when we talk about what Alabama's going to do against them, you got no idea. When you got 50 new players, and can they bring that 50 together? And, you know, what kind of players do they have there? 50 new guys, that's a lot. And so what you hope is the Clemsons and the Alabama, you hope they steamroll Florida State. If Florida State beats Alabama, everybody's going to say, man, we got to go the portal route. They brought in 50 new guys. They turned that thing from 2-10, and they're beating Alabama here in 1 year. And you're going to encourage more of the portal era and the transfer stuff.
You're going to hear more than that if they beat Alabama.
Yeah, if they beat Alabama. But Alabama's got some key players out. Nobody's going to remember that now. When they kick that thing off at 2:30, they're not going to remember those guys. They're not going to care that Jim Miller and Roberts and the defensive line guy is out. They'd expect you to be. But that's why you better recruit depth, because you're one play away. And we'll see what happens. All right, we'll take an early break here. We'll get back. I don't want to cut Phillip short. Phil's probably done a lot of research for us, and should be some fun games. I want to watch Nebraska tonight. I remember the Nebraska old. I think this guy's building this program back. We'll see. Matt Rhule, I guess, is the guy at Nebraska. I'm interested to watch them tonight and see how they play. Nebraska has a big-time football tradition, and I think this guy may – he kind of gets it, and they gave him a blank check, it looks like, to recruit. Two-minute truck, they get it. They're at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. It's local, out of town, out of state, no problem whatsoever. Give them a call today. They'll take care of you, your stress, and everything that you need. 205-247-5050. Two men in a truck. Movers who care.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Thursday morning. The Tuscaloosa County School System will have to begin a search for a new superintendent soon. Dr. Kerry Johnson is moving to Pelham as superintendent in that system. Johnson has headed the Tuscaloosa County System since 2020 and has 27 years of experience in education. Meanwhile, in Greene County, Superintendent Dr. Corey Jones has resigned there after 6 years with that school system. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Good morning to you. Traffic is moving on the smooth this morning for your Thursday commute. Normal heavies as you travel on 43. Well, taps on the brakes, not even really heavy. 43 southbound onto McFarland, that usual spot. And Lurleen Wallace, McFarland intersection. That's also your usual stop and go.
And freshly prepared pico de gallo. Try it today at a participating U.S. Taco Bell location while supplies last. Contact store for participation, which varies.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours road.
Amphitheater.com. Make a night to remember. Pitbull. Live in concert. For more, hit pitbullmusic.com. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Increasingly cloudy today. We'll have a chance of showers, mainly this afternoon and tonight. The high today, 83. Tonight's low, 64. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. A few showers around, the high, 81. Saturday, only isolated showers, the high, 82. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 64 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Never miss a moment of the action. Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
Inside the locker room, pressure treated pine from Great Southern Wood. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. We also can talk, we'll talk to Philip and maybe in the second hour about Keegan Bradley not picking himself. I don't know if you saw his press conference yesterday, but he was good in that press conference.
Who was?
Keegan Bradley, just about picking the team. And yeah, he was really good. We want that Yellowwood pressure treated pine from Great Southern. Always remember, guys, if it doesn't have that yellow tag on it, you don't want it to the Yellowwood hotline. What's up, Philip?
Good morning, Philip.
I know you're excited, Philip. I know you're excited. Has this been the, I was telling Jenny this morning, this has been the longest month. August has seemed like it's been 3 months to me. Is it like that to y'all as well? This has been a long month, seems like.
I'll let Wimp answer first.
Yeah, it is
a long month. I agree. You're and the reason it is when you have an anticipation factor of something coming in like big, like football, you can't wait for it to get here, and you're always looking to see what you think might. Well, certainly Phillip's going to do that. You'll look and see kind of what's going to happen. A lot of people do that. They don't do it to the extent that Philip does it, but they do it. And they do it for their one particular team. I know he likes Alabama, but he also does it for other teams. So I think the anticipation factor makes it long.
Yeah, it's been long, Philip. For me, I don't know, maybe you have flown by. For me, it's been long.
It's been long. It's been long. It's been so incredibly hot. You know, it started getting hot, really hot, like on July the 15th, I think. And we had those 2 weeks in late July that were just blistering hot, hot as I can ever remember, really, in recent memory. I don't know about you. Maybe I'm being a little bit overly dramatic on that, but it's been so doggone hot. And but anyway, you know, the injury news yesterday, I had to do a double take when I saw that. I thought I was looking at something that was an old story that popped up on the web, and I was looking at an old story. It caught me off guard. That's a blade, Alabama, because that's the area where Alabama's got the kind of the least depth, you know, from 1-2-3 down the line. And so some pressure we're going to have to play Saturday. And I think Isaiah Faga from Phoenix City will possibly get on the field. I think London Simmons from Jackson, Mississippi is going to play. You know, he had some good reports on him early in the fall camp. And I definitely think Stevie Mbauma from Canada, by way of the junior college in Mississippi, is going to play a lot. And they don't have anybody as heavy as Keenan. I think he was the heaviest player on the team. I think Simmons is the closest at 302 pounds. The other guy's like 296. So it's going to be a hard hole to fill, because Miles on, we don't know, like I said, Dan, we don't really know what to expect. But Auburn was a running game with Miles on, and a power running game. And that's what they're going to do. I think they're going to exploit that to the best of their ability. Delayed type handoffs, really long developing handoffs that may or may not be handoffs. A lot of deception, pacing, real fast pacing early on. That's my take. But the thing that I'm most concerned about as a fan and making that trip down there is I think the weather's just going to be horrible, because if you pull up the Tallahassee forecast, it's got a string of lightning from like 10-11 o'clock in the morning all the way to about 7 o'clock at night.
Ugh.
Just, yeah.
I wonder, Chase, look it up. What is the lightning rule? Sometimes it strikes within a certain distance from the stadium. Then I know, like in Little League Baseball, if it's, well, I don't know how close it is, but it's like 30 minutes mm-hmm. every time it lightnings like that. I don't know what the lightning rule is in college football, but I'm sure, Chase, if you can Google that and see what the lightning rule is in college football. Is it 30 minutes if it strikes how far from the stadium? So that could be a lot of delays and stuff like that for sure.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, the delays will be, you know, in full force, but how long do you put up with it? I don't know if you remember or not, and this is not in the same level of game, but Idaho came to Florida a few years ago, and you guys remember what happened?
No, tell me.
The game got canceled.
No, I ain't canceled this game.
I'm telling you, Barry, I'm not saying they will, but I'm just saying if there is a long strand of lightning, that's going to be something to watch. I remember that Florida-Idaho game. I think they did a kickoff, and Florida, I think, received it, and they tackled the guy, and he slid about 45 feet to the wall.
All right, here's the rule. In college football, lightning triggers safety protocols requiring a suspension of play and evacuation to safe shelter when a storm is within an 8-mile radius of the venue. Play can only resume after a 30-minute waiting period following the last thunder or lightning strike. If more lightning occurs during a 30-minute delay, the clock restarts and the suspension continues. So there you go. 8-mile radius.
Yeah. That's a long way from the football study.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not a meteorologist, and hopefully what we gotta hope happens is that things improve here between today and tomorrow, and all that stuff backs off till Sunday.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
But
yeah, you know, Alabama, they could move, you know, I don't know. I guess they could play the game on Sunday if it gets too bad. But, I mean, they're playing some directional school. And they got to play this game, right? They got to play it.
I don't know. I've changed my school. I know that. I went 34-14 Alabama, but now with the Keenan injury and things like that and the rain and the new sod and all that mixed in, I'm going Alabama 24-20.
It didn't affect the line at all. Line's still 13.5.
And that's a problem.
And the over-under is 50.5. So
that surprises me. That does. Yeah. What do you think?
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe people heard. They'll start betting here, you know, get serious about their betting. Maybe it'll flip around right before the game. But we'll see. You'll look up and that thing will have gone one way or another probably Saturday morning. So we'll see what happens.
I'm going with Auburn 28-21 over Baylor, and I'm going with Clemson 16-14 over LSU.
0-6 this decade, that happens. We'll know soon, Philip. Thank you. Talk to you tomorrow. All right, buddy. See you. All right, get to the Yellowwood hotline. What's up, Super Joe?
Good morning. I look at it like this. Whatever injury we got, I'm going to say we got the mentality called next man up. You know, that's why it's about stepping up. So, you know, one thing about it, we have had injuries before on the offensive side and defense side. So, everybody, we hitting the panic button too quick, just like normal. That's what we're doing. You know, I hate to see key players get hurt. I hate to see any player get hurt.
Yeah.
And I don't see it off watching players on the opposing team get hurt because people need their careers, especially when you're trying to go. But I say like this, though. You know, when the recruiting has been done more than just well enough on both, okay, what Coach Saban had and what Coach DeBoer's getting. So, you know, the players are developing. So, you know, like this, I see where the second string sometimes be better than the first. Yeah. First string or sometimes the third be better than the second and first put together. So it's like this, you know. It's just like if the Thai Bet Master go down, guess what? We got the Kangol Shepherd in the bag. I'm like, oh, that's even better. But then if that Kangol Shepherd starts showing a sign of injury, then guess what? We still come out better off when we get the alibi out there. Now, you see, business is always handled in Alabama. So we got to keep it all, you know, just go ahead and just count all joy. But I tell you one thing I'm waiting on. I'm waiting on see if I can get me some free tickets to go to Alabama in the Louisiana La Monroe.
You better get you some tickets to that. You just get on down there and you walk around right before the game time. So I'm going to hand you some.
That's all good to me. I'm going to see if I can take my old neighbor and then go let good old lady friend. But I'm going to go ahead and try to get on down there. But I'll tell you what, though. I believe this is going to be where Alabama's going to the college playoff game. And I believe that. And I'm waiting on my 2026 calendar to come in. That'll be there next month. That'd be here for me next month, 2000. What they call it, the Daniel Moore calendar. That's the calendar. Ever since I started getting it, I never stopped getting it.
There you go. All right, what's your score going to be Saturday, Super Joe?
I got a good 35-10 Alabama.
35-10, so they're going to cover. But they'll be that's an under and a cover. All right, we'll be watching, Super Joe. Enjoy the weekend.
Take up hot now.
All right, there's Super Joe there. He's a big fan there. So hopefully he can get to it. If anybody's got some Lose Him and Road tickets you're not going to use, call Chase up. We'll get them to Super Joe. He would appreciate those. All right, so we'll take the break and we'll get to JC. You're listening to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Good morning to you. Traffic is moving on the smooth this morning for your Thursday commute. Normal heavies as you travel on 43. Well, taps on the brakes, not even really heavy. 43 southbound onto McFarland, that usual spot. And Lurleen Wallace, McFarland intersection. That's also your usual stop and go.
Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Mr. SEC Tournament Wimp Sanderson gives you his excellent analysis every weekday on Inside the Locker Room, right here on Tide 100.9.
Inside the Locker Room pressure treated pine from Great Southern Wood. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, then you don't want it. I get to the Yellowwood Hotline. He's the owner of thebigspur.com. He's got the Chiefs Sports app. They got plenty of podcasts and everything going on, especially with college football. He gets packed up, Dad. J.C. Sherbert. Good morning, J.C. How are you?
Good morning.
Hi, good morning, fellas. It dawned on me at about 4:45 a.m. Central that we have a pretty decent slate of games tonight. So this is really the start of week one, and there's nothing better I'd rather do start of week one in the morning than talk to you guys.
Yeah. Dad hit his blue plate last Saturday. JC, his line that he got, he doesn't understand when he picks it, he gets the line at where it said it was 10.5 at half. He had Western Kentucky, and Sam Houston drove that ball down to the 1 yard line, down 17, under a minute to go in the game. I'm like, oh my God, he's going to lose this game. He's going to be screaming at me about the half because the line had gone down on Saturday. To 10, and then whatever happened, the next play they lost 20 yards and he covered. So he is 1-0. So you're talking to a genius when you talk to him, JC.
That's what gambling's all about. Sometimes he doesn't go across the goal line, sometimes he does.
Yeah, so he is 1-0, and he is feeling himself right now, JC. Yeah.
All right, JC.
I don't blame you.
I'll ask you the first couple of questions. And I got about three or four games I want you to talk about. LSU Clemson is big. I think Ohio State's game is big. I think the Tennessee game is big. And just kind of the games that you feel are big, just talk about them. That's the most important. I know we're a week early on those, maybe Nebraska tonight, but just some of the games you think are big because you're so smart on this stuff.
Yeah, I think when you talk Ohio State, Texas, just in terms of where the teams are ranked, the Arch Manning storyline, Julian Sand is making his debut as the quarterback in Ohio State. It's in Columbus. The defending national champs against the number one team in the country. They're 1-2 in the coaches' poll. We've never had a 1-2 in the opener ever. Or at least since I can remember. I mean, maybe way back in the day. But, that's as big as it gets because there's so much that'll come out of that. It's an SEC Big Ten matchup. They're both picked to go to the title game by a lot of folks. So it's titanic. And I think the one matchup in that football game that I keep getting back to is – yes, Ohio State's loaded. They've got talent. But on the defensive side of the football, they lost a lot. And I do remember during the spring portal period, they were scrambling a little bit. I know this because they went head-to-head with South Carolina on a couple of players. Gamecocks got one, and they got one. And it was D-line. And if I think back, Jack Sawyer and all those dudes, they were dudes, man. That's such a critical position. Texas has a big O-line. Texas actually got bunch of defensive tackles from the portal this year. So I kind of look at it, as long as Texas goes up there and plays physical football, which sometimes they're apt not to do, sometimes they are. I thought they were way more physical last year than in previous years. I think Texas wins the game. And I almost hate to say that because we're going to have to listen. If Arch Manning has a good game, they're going to give him the Heisman the first week.
Yeah.
Kind of like, I call it the Anthony Richardson effect. Because remember Anthony Richardson a couple years ago at Florida? They beat Utah. There was all this hype, and then Kentucky went in there the next week. He looked like crap, and we didn't hear much about him for the rest of the until he got drafted. So, and then Lord knows if Ohio State wins, the Big Ten homers are going to come out of the woodwork. So there's a lot at stake in a negative way for our jobs and just in general. I mean, we're three people that don't really like to hear all that right now. And so, in my opinion, there's no great outcome for all of us. But I think Texas wins the game just because the one big question I have is Ohio State on defense. I just don't think they're going to be as good this year. And there's another part of it, too, that people aren't talking about. Chip Kelly is gone. Their defensive coordinator is gone. Those two guys that ran the show on both sides of the ball are gone. And they were replaced with Brian Hartline, a first-time coordinator, which means Ryan Day is probably going to be meddling in the offense. And then on defense, they hired Chris Ash again, who was there, I think, under Urban Meyer. But he's no Jim Knowles. So you have to wonder how the two new coordinators are going to impact things as well for the Buckeyes. Meanwhile, Sark's one of the best play callers in college football. You know, there's just a lot of intangibles and tangibles that add up to a Texas win. But, hey, man, it's up there. It's Ohio State. Texas lays eggs. First time Texas has ever been number one preseason. Can handle the pressure. I mean, you know, who knows. But I've settled on Texas winning the game.
JC, this first weekend, you know, this has been a long month. I was telling Dad, this August has lasted forever. And I guess because you knew football was coming, so you're just waiting. It's like Christmas. You just keep looking at it, and every day seems like 2 days. There's been so much talk about Portal, about NIL, all that stuff, people disgusted with it. But now you get to see these guys play, and there's going to be some fan bases that say, man, we got a steal. We didn't pay very much to get him, or we went to some lower school and got him. And then there's going to be some saying, we paid what for that guy? He's a bust. They're going to overreact big time both ways this weekend. But I think it's more about what's on the field. But now these guys getting paid. You know, I think Venmo's got something in place now where these people can't, if you blow a game and a gambler loses it. I think there's more animosity towards players now because they are getting paid. So people feel like they can lash out at them. Do you see that as well?
Yeah. And it's self-defeating. I mean, I always appreciate the passion of fans and coaches have taken all sorts of abuse for years. Funny thing about college sports is that pro fans will boo a player in a heartbeat. They'll call a player a bum in a heartbeat. They don't even really go after the coach a lot. They'll just fire him. College fans blame the coaches for everything, and they kind of lay off the players. It's never the player.
Yeah.
What I think will be unfortunate is, in our social media world, is the money aspect of it. First and foremost, nobody really knows for sure how much everybody's getting because none of that information right now is public. And even if it was, you know, I don't think people have the understanding enough to get beyond the whole, well, it's pro sports now because they're getting paid. It's not that simple. As I said over and over, college football is a developmental game. So if you're ticked off that a cornerback that you may have paid money for and you know it's $200,000 and he's a freshman and the senior in front of him gets hurt, he goes in and blows coverage three different times and costs you the game, you know, are you going to sit there and go after him? Because next year that guy's going to be all SEC. And nobody understands that.
Yeah.
And it's fundamental to this game. And so it's self-defeating because guess what? If I'm taking that kind of verbal abuse and I'm 18 years old and it's really not my fault, I'm just not ready, the guy in front of me got hurt, I went and did the best I could, I'm out. I don't care how much money you pay. And so you're gonna see some fans, these people that think that their social media presence, that they're some sort of important person, that sit there and love to tweet at recruits and everything else, those psychopaths,
yeah,
are going to cost their program players. And then if you get too much of a reputation out there, other players aren't going to come to your school because they don't want to take it either. I don't know how you stop it. I think it's just another thing that's going to challenge coaches and players and everybody else because you can't keep the kids off social media. I mean, that's part of their life. So I think it's a bad thing for college fans to bring up the money and act like they're owed something, you know, game to game. Now, if a guy has a bad season, you got him out the portal, you know, he wanted all this money, maybe he's difficult to negotiate with, maybe his agent was out there hyping him up. And after the fact, he can say, yeah, you know, that was a waste of money. That guy's not very good. I don't have a problem with that. But it's the in-game verbal abuse. I mean, and the audacity of some of these people to think that their opinion and personal attacks matter and are helping the situation, it's just absolutely stupid. And I'm worried, unfortunately, that it's going in that direction. Hopefully there's enough people that just want to blame the coaches, though, so they still exist. So,
yeah, I want you to predict this.
Yeah.
I want you to predict this, because I'm not as confident as some people are. At 10:30 Friday night, will the Auburn people say, Jackson Arnold, that was a great investment? Or will they say, what in the world are we paying that for him for? Which will it be? Somewhere in the middle? Probably somewhere in the middle. They're going to overreact one way or another. Which way? What do you predict will be in the Auburn's minds at 10:30 on Friday night?
Now, look, man, there was an Auburn podcast. Today's Thirsty Thursday on our Gamecock show. We're featured because this guy was thirsty, right? He said there's going to be three names at Auburn: Cam Newton, Bo Jackson, and Jackson Arnold.
Gosh.
And I'm like, whoa, bro. That's way too far. But let's be fair to Jackson Arnold. This is another thing people don't get.
Yep.
Last year, Oklahoma just thought they were going to roll into the SEC and replace five offensive linemen. And they got one of the best O-line coaches in the country. They didn't evaluate worth a flip. Then they had some injuries. That offensive line was – there were some bad offensive lines in the SEC last year. Oklahoma was the worst. Okay? They had no time. And then – and again, they blame the offensive coordinator out there for whatever reason. And then their top five receivers were hurt.
Yeah.
And Jackson Arnold's a first-time starter as a redshirt freshman. I don't care how talented you are, you're not going to succeed. And then they benched him for a very average player, a true freshman, for whatever freaking reason. So is it really fair to say Jackson Arnold's not very good? I mean, I understand they probably thought they made a mistake telling Dylan Gabriel to go on, and we'll just go with Jackson. But look, man, Dylan Gabriel would not have looked that good last year either. That was a bad scene. Ask Alabama how good Jackson Arnold is on the ground, too. How many yards did he have, Barry? 130.
He was good in that game. No, they had no receiver. Yeah, they had no receivers in that game. And everybody thought Alabama should go up there and just steamroll them. And they made us look bad. And they made their defense Milrow look bad as well.
Yeah, dude. So look, I mean, here's the thing. I think regardless of the outcome Friday, you know, Jackson Arnold has a chance to be good. We just, it's one of those things we just don't know. I mean, you know, some guys, at quarterback, when they're in a bad situation like that, and they really weren't in high school, they don't get their confidence back, you know, and that's kind of probably feeds into the Hugh Freeze confidence thing, and so they do end up being terrible. But I don't think we know, because I don't think there are any quarterbacks out there at all, including the great Arch Manning or the great Garrett Nussmeier, whoever, who would have done any better in that situation in Oklahoma last year than Jackson.
I heard Dad's voice, Jason. He's been talking to somebody down there at Auburn. I think he thinks Jackson Arnold's going to be good as well. Is that true, Dad?
Yeah. I think it's going to be better than we think.
Yeah.
I think he's hit on the head.
Peyton Thorne was not good. Now, I couldn't believe he made it 2 years as a starter down there. In my opinion.
I didn't realize Peyton Thorne my stepson plays high school football up where I live, and I didn't realize he went to Naperville Central or one of those Naperville schools. They aren't worth a flip. And I didn't know he had that background, and that's how he got to Michigan State, then to Auburn. I think Hugh Freeze, because of the Bo Wallace Reclamation Project at Ole Miss, got really arrogant with that guy. I would never take a quarterback from this area ever. A bad coach is, you know, terrible play, you know, and not in the SEC. And so I don't know what Hugh Freeze is thinking there with him. But Jackson Arnold's a totally different animal.
Okay. Good. Yep.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, you say they do criticize the coaches, but they do jump on the quarterbacks pretty good.
Now that's happened the last 10 years big time. Even before the money. I mean, Jake Bentley at South Carolina, if I could have crawled through the computer and strangled some of these people, I would have. Some of the things they said to him were very inappropriate. And I know it happened everywhere else, too.
Yeah. What about go ahead, Dad. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. Can you compare the SEC and the Big Ten? Can you say that I guess you have to let them play. That's what we're doing now. But can the Minnesotas and people like that, Wisconsin's coming to Alabama, can you really compare? I don't know that you can compare the interest because they're so scattered and the cities are so big. But can you compare the what can you compare with the Big Ten SEC? That's to me an interesting question because those are the ones that we think about.
Yeah, one of the things to keep in mind about the Big Ten is the heart of the Big Ten. All of those schools: your Iowas, Wisconsin, Illinois, Purdue, Penn State. Yeah. You could throw Nebraska in there. They're all enormously large. Land-grant schools millions of alums, huge fan base. I mean, you see it in the Citrus Bowl and the Outback Bowl every year. Big Ten schools will bring 25,000. They all get in the RV or the van and drive the 12 hours to Florida. I don't blame them. But so there's a lot of eyeballs on that football. Now, what they don't have in most instances is a natural recruiting base outside of Ohio. And then they get into New Jersey and Pennsylvania and all that, of course. But I believe this. I think the SEC is a deeper league. Guys coach basketball. I've said this before. In basketball, that's how we judge who the best leagues are. How many teams you get in the tournament? Well, we got 8, 9. We're the best league. Football, for some reason, we've been married, and I think it's because of the poll. You know, we determined everything by a poll or a 14 playoff for years. We sit there and judge conference strength by, you know, who's good at the top, and to heck with everything else. And I don't understand that at all. So I think the SEC is the best league because I think it's less realistic that one of the favorites in the SEC gets through undefeated than it would be for somebody to go undefeated in the Big Ten. Now, look, match up Penn State and Georgia. I don't know. It's probably a toss-up. This weekend could go either way. But I still think, you know, just like we talked about last year, you know, you're talking Texas A&M, Florida, those schools, even Vanderbilt last season, LSU. You know, you got to go there instead of going to Minnesota or even Indiana last season. It's a whole different animal.
We're talking with J.C. Sherbert. J.C., I know in Alabama there is no NIL in high school. There's three states, I think, that pretty restricted. But most of them, it's free. I guess when they're a certain age, you can give the junior college and the high school kids, I guess they can make NIL. My question is there any, and I know the NCAA is saying now that I think they want the high school kids to turn in what they're getting and maybe where they're getting it from. Now that everybody can kind of pay everybody, is there any rule against if I'm in Georgia and some big Georgia booster hiring me and or giving me NIL money to keep Georgia from recruiting me? Is there any rules against any of that stuff?
I mean, they can try to stop it, but all these are connected to state law. And they can't, you know, they're going to have to get a written agreement to do that. I know Virginia, you can give high schoolers NIL money and things of that nature. So, no, there's nothing. Now, is it a risk? Yes. I mean, because you could give them that money and the kid could sign with whoever the heck he wants. It's kind of like the Bagman days. But I haven't heard much of other than what Kirby Smart said that one time about collectives paying a guy a bunch of money a month to keep him committed. I haven't heard much about that. And, like, Georgia's had that law for 2 or 3 years where you high schoolers have been able to get NIL money. And you know the whole SEC, the whole country recruits Atlanta. So you just hadn't heard many things pop up about, oh, well, they used that law in that state to pay him before he got in. But, you know, but with agents and stuff like that, who knows?
Well, I mean, the best basketball player in Alabama as a junior went to Georgia because of NIL, and then now he's down at, I don't even know what it is, Prolific Prep down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And Alabama's trying to recruit him. This guy, so Alabama is, in basketball, they are losing kids to other states because they cannot, you know, they can't pay them. And so they're going, he's got an Adidas contract. So I think it's more prevalent maybe in basketball than football right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, basketball has always been, let's just say that it's been ahead of football and some of this stuff for a long time. So that doesn't surprise me. And plus, you know, it's more, I know you still have IMG and things like that, football, but it's way more like prevalent for, and it has been for 20 years. I mean, how did Ronaldo Baltman end up in Laurinburg, North Carolina, Barry? You've seen that. We've seen this for
something. You mean tell you how? School. You mean tell you how?
No. We can say that one for another time. Because
the lady from the school called me down there and said, Coach, he will never graduate from here. He needs to go somewhere else. We said, okay, I'll find where for him to go. There you go.
They called him the Institute up in Laurinburg. Yeah. The Institute. And, anyway.
Oh, boy.
It was one of those things. It's one of those things in that sport, guys, because there's fewer players, you know, and they've been playing out-of-state games. I mean, yeah, basketball's just structured a little different, but I think, you know, some of these state lawmakers who think that, you know, they fly the flag for State U and you know, all they're obsessed with is getting on rivals.com or 24/7 and talking smack because they got a 5-star. So they pass these laws thinking that's going to give their school an advantage. You know, once it starts ruining high school sports, is that really healthy for our society? No.
And
for the sport of football? No. And I think it's ridiculous, some of these people that are trying to cash in on NIL at the high school level. They don't have any value outside of, hey, Pete's Drive-In wants you to, we're going to name the chili cheese combo, you know, Jim Smith's big combo. We're going to pay you $500 a month to put your face on the order board. That's the extent of it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's just insane. And for to get into recruiting is crazy. But, you know, I've heard of situations where a kid will commit and all of a sudden they'll have a nice new car or something. You know, the cars have been happening for a long time, but not in high school. So, but it's part of a legal NIL deal according to their state that they're in. So we'll see sort of what happens.
Yep. Dad, anything else for JC?
No, that's good. Good stuff. Thank you.
Well, you better ask him about that one game that you're considering for that blue plate. You better make sure he's okay with it.
I got it in my mind. The injury factor gets involved in this stuff so much. So,
JC, I can tell you this for 100% fact. He has never taken a team plus points. He's always always the favorite. He always takes the favorite team, and he loves home field. We've never had to put Cincinnati plus 6.5 on there. Never a plus sign.
I don't think
with the blue plate.
He let him tell what he wants.
Cincinnati game's in Kansas City.
Yeah,
basically home game for Nebraska. I mean, they're Nebraska's 3 hours away, and that's one of those big schools that travels. I mean, it's nothing. I mean, it'll be a sea of red tonight.
That line, is that a game people should look at? Line 6.5.
I thought that was a very close game. Apparently, the quarterback for Cincinnati is a pretty good little player. I think the best thing Nebraska ever did was demote Marcus Satterfield and that awful – he's the worst coordinator in college football. And my man Dana Holgorsen took over. He's a character.
Really?
And I think with Rayola in his second year in that system, yeah, they gave the play calling to Dana mid-season, Matt Rhule did last year, and they got a lot better. Trust me, I watched Marcus Satterfield 2 years in South Carolina. He's –
Yeah,
I knew that.
I don't
want to
say clown, but if I were into calling coaches clowns, he would be on my
boy. Yeah, he'd been on Satterfield the whole time.
Yeah, JC didn't like Satterfield. He wasn't trying to hide it. Terrible. He wasn't trying to hide it either.
He was terrible. I mean, you talk to coaches in there; they're like, "This guy does not know his butt." And then he goes to Nebraska, and it's the same story. You know, I mean, it you know, the proof is in the pudding. I don't think I'm alone on that island, fellas, but I think with Holgorsen and what they added Dane Key from Kentucky and some other good receivers, I think they have a chance to be pretty dangerous on offense. I know Scott Satterfield at Cincinnati is a little bit on the hot seat. He's an excellent coach back in the App State days. That offense is hard to defend. So, you know, I'd probably go with Nebraska minus the points. I hate to do that because Nebraska's just been a bad bet for a long time. But something tells me that with that crowd, that Arrowhead, Dylan Rayola looks like Patrick Mahomes. I mean, what more do you want?
There you go. All right, JC, tell everybody where they can find you.
All right, we dropped the JC and Morgan College Football Podcast this week. It's on the Chief Sports app. Also, collegefootballforever.com. You can find JC and Morgan. Also, want to tell everybody, if you're in a high school game Friday night, listen to my partner, Mike Morgan. He is calling the Auburn-Baylor game on national radio on elitesportsmedia.com. You can get that on iHeart or TuneIn. So you're out there at the Hoover game or whatever, and you want to listen to Auburn, tune in to Elite Sports Media and Mike Morgan calling that game live from Waco.
There you go. Thank you, JC. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, JC.
Thank you, fellas.
All right, we want to thank Yellowwood Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern. I always remember, guys, if it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, then you certainly don't want it.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
One day closer to Alabama Crimson Tide football. We're going to get you caught up to date with all the headlines surrounding the University of Alabama football team. We'll do that with Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com. We'll go to Las Vegas. We'll talk to Bruce Marshall from Vegas Insider. He'll set the stage for a busy weekend of college football, all on the Thursday edition of The Game, right here on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles.
In baseball, the Mets brought out the brooms.
Swinging a high pop-up, that should do it. Shallow right field, backpedaling McNeil. He's under it, makes the catch, put it in the box. The Mets are back in the hunt. They have swept the three-game series from the first-place Philadelphia Phillies and sliced the Phillies' lead down to just four games in the National League East with 29 to go.
Mets Radio Network on the call. They shut out the Phillies today 6-0. The Dodgers completed a three-game sweep of the Reds, coming out on top 5-1. It was the first time that Cincinnati was swept this season. The Rangers crushed the Angels 20-3 and was the most scored runs by Texas since 2011. And the A's shut out the Tigers 7-0, while the Blue Jays outscored the Twins 9-8 and the Mariners edged the Padres 4-3. At the U.S. Open, 2-seed Carlos Alcaraz and 6-seed Ben Shelton are headed to the third round.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Pretty basic delays for your typical areas. 43 southbound onto McFarland, of course. Also McFarland, east and westbound onto Lurline Wallace. You'll find yourself tapping on those brakes a bit. That's just your brief.
Free. That's right. Free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance and is backed by an entire team of people you know and trust. Rent a Toyota and let's go places. Reserving yours is a breeze at TuscaloosaToyota.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Increasingly cloudy today. We'll have a chance of showers, mainly this afternoon and tonight. The high today, 83. Tonight's low, 64. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. A few showers around, the high, 81. Saturday, only isolated showers, the high, 82. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 66 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron. From inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And welcome back to the second hour of Inside the Locker. Phone lines are open, 205-342-9904. We'll take your phone calls throughout the rest of this 8 o'clock hour. Also, we got the vinegar tip. That'll come to you about 8:45. You don't want to miss that. I don't know. Are you doing your blue play today, or are you saving that thing till tomorrow?
Oh, I'm saving it till tomorrow.
Oh, he's saving it. He's saving it. All right. We want to thank Tuscaloosa Toyota. Go to TuscaloosaToyota.com. You can look at all the new inventory, the pre-owned inventory. You want to schedule a service? You want to rent a Toyota? You can do it right there at the website. You want to find out what your car is worth? You want to trade it in? Then you obviously can start that right there at Tuscaloosa Toyota. If you'd like to see people, then swing out to 3325 Skyland Boulevard over in Tuscaloosa, obviously, and they will take absolutely great care of you. Tuscaloosa Toyota, when you get by there, tell them that Wimp and Barry sent you. They had the Coach DeBoer show last night. They did it at Baumhauer's Wings, and Ty Simpson came over as well. And they asked Ty about his hobbies, and he said he likes to play a little bit of golf. He likes to hunt and fish. He likes to grill. And he's got a Traeger grill, and he brings the lineman over there. But his favorite thing to do, Dad, is play with, are you ready? Legos. Yeah. Legos. He likes to build with Legos.
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 What is
that? Yeah. Huh?
What is that?
Jay, explain to him what a Lego is. It's a little bit.
Something like you build kind of like a toy, a kid's toy kind of.
Little building blocks. He build things. So he's got a lot of Legos, and so.
Well, you build them, do you tear them down, or you keep them up?
Well, some people build them and they display them for people. Some people build them, and I don't know. I don't know that many people that play with Legos.
If you spend hours and hours and hours building one, your brother coming in knocking it all down just going perfect.
Now here's what's going to happen, Chase. If he plays bad, you know what the Alabama fans going to say? Well, he's too busy playing Legos. He's not in his playbook enough. He's playing Legos. Please don't do that if he were to do that. Keegan Bradley did not take himself on the Ryder Cup team. I thought the press conference was absolutely terrific.
Oh, my goodness.
It was good. It was on the Golf Channel, and they had the six guys that he picked and Keegan Bradley, and most of the questions were at him. And he talked about the difficulty of picking up the phone and calling guys that didn't make the team. He didn't call them out specifically. He didn't say how many phone calls he made, but he said, when I called them, hey, I get it. These guys are my buddies. He said, I got right to the point of doing that. He said, but, you know, I'm crushing these kids, some of these guys' dreams of being on this team. But then he talked about the phone calls of asking the guys to be on the team or whatever. But he was really, really good. And so he just felt like he was better off just being the captain and not playing. But what do you think about the picks that he made? They're not very controversial. Patrick Cantlay maybe. And he looked – Patrick Cantlay.
And really put.
I didn't like his – he just kind of was up there. He didn't act like now, he really wanted to be there.
Yeah, Cantlay is a different kind of guy. And he's a little bit like people think about me. They don't like you. Because he got a bad look on your face, and I don't particularly care for him. The guy can really putt. He's very slow. He'll aggravate the Europeans with his slowness. They'll put a time clock on him. But he is—he may be the most outstanding putter in critical situations on the tour. And some people will disagree with that. I don't particularly care for him because he's so cotton picking slow, and I like fast players. But I wish I had seen that. That's shame I didn't, because I like it so much. But I can see exactly where you're coming from. Cantlay's hard to like until you get to know him. And I like a lot of people that way. When you don't know him from a distance, you don't like him. When you get to know him, you care for him a lot more. So I think he made the picks that he needed to pick. I think he studied about himself and felt like it. It was so important that people feel like that he had, you know, had picked good old boys or buddies and all. He picked the right group, and I think he did. And I'm not saying this in any form or fashion. I guess he's made it. Number seven on the tour on the picks. Justin just needs is just consistency. It's been a little bit of a struggle. And with Spieth not playing and then playing together, maybe it's a little bit different than it has been. So I don't know how that pick will go, but certainly somebody had to pick because he was selected number seven. Didn't have to pick him, but he did. But it should be very interesting. You know, you pick somebody to captain your Ryder Cup team, and not everybody's familiar with him. He's a really great player. Not everybody, they want a name. They want a controversial guy. They want a guy that does this. You know, and this guy is kind of down to earth, trying to decide what he should do honestly with himself. And people don't like that. They, you know, the media wants somebody they can fuss with and argue with. That's the reason they have a hard time interviewing Scottie Scheffler. He just kind of lays back and doesn't say a whole lot. He gets mad on the course, but he doesn't really say a whole lot. So, anyway, I think the picks were fine. That was about who you had to pick. The ones that were left after the first six were automatic. So, the Ryder Cup's playing where you're playing. I think it's in New York, I believe I'm right.
Yeah.
It should be, I hadn't really studied the course the way I should have, as much as I enjoy it, but I got so much going on in my life. So, just a good pick and a good person, I think, is what you said.
You know, they asked him how this process has changed him. I'm talking about Keegan Bradley. And he said, I was a guy that was really just to myself. I'd come to the course, I'd play, and I'd leave. And he said it really made me get to kind of hang around the guys and have appreciation for them more and how did they work. And I've formed relationships with people where I was, that was not something that I normally did. I thought that was neat, there. And he talked about how much.
He was a little bit of a loner.
Yeah.
He was a little bit of a loner. He stayed away from the good old boys, and nobody was going to pick him, last time, particularly because, and he's a very good player. He won the PGA one time, and, one of the big tournaments, he beat one guy. I was rooting for the other guy, but, He's
I think he's a good person. I think he will listen to the assistant captains and whatever they do in their meetings as to who is shooting. You know, on the last day, you're paired one-on-one, and you have to decide. You know, you automatically you're going to say, well, Scotty's going to be the number one player for us. Well, it goes down with these guys to how they're playing that week. It just does. Scotty may not be playing quite as well as he's been playing. He might be the number two guy for Alabama. For Ryder Cup, but probably won't be. But so they study the pairings. They change the pairings from time to time. They ask about the pairings. I'd like to play. I don't want to make anybody mad. I'd like to play with so-and-so as my partner. And so they try to do that. They feel good to that guy. They do that. And then after they have their pairings set with people that if some change there that wasn't quite what they thought, they'll change again. And then when you get to that last day, and you're one-on-one, you do everything you possibly can to be darn sure that you try to find out who their number two guy is, so your number two guy plays them. It's interesting behind the scenes. That's enough to talk about me, but it is.
Yeah, so they end up picking Sam Burns, Cantley, who looked miserable yesterday, Ben Griffin, Morikawa, obviously Justin Thomas and Cameron Young, to go with DeChambeau and Scheffler.
Young, son, is a Wake Forest guy who may have been Alberta, you were there. But he's a very, very good player. Has not been able to get picked. One this year for the first time, I think. But he's a very good player. And there's a lot of potential in these guys. And of course, the Europeans are good. And I'll tell you one other thing, and I'll hush. There is a home course advantage with the crowd. And I know the crowd doesn't play. But I know you get pumped up when they're calling for you to make one, or you make one that's huge. You make a long putt that turns things around. There is a home court advantage.
Yeah, but I think you and Doug act like it's a given. I think it's more pressure on those guys, and I think the Europeans thrive in that environment. So
yeah,
I'm worried.
I'm
worried. They're better than that country club golf. So yeah. I'm worried that the Americans are going to get smoked in this Ryder Cup, just to be quite honest with you.
I don't think he's going to get smoked.
All right. Well, anyway, if anybody wants to talk a little Ryder Cup, I'm sure Dan and I are the only ones that we got some people that were complaining about Cantley not wearing a hat last year because he wanted to be paid. So what if he doesn't want to wear the hat this year? What do we do with that?
I don't know whether that's going to happen again or not. He's a different kind of cat. He's a very good player that you don't care for. He just is. You just don't care for him. But he gets over that putt. He takes a long time, but he really knows what he's doing when he strokes that putt. I know Tom watches this stuff. I'm sure Tom doesn't like him at all, but I don't know that. But he can play.
I was going to text Doug this last night. I mean, Keegan Bradley obviously is good enough to be on the team. Why wouldn't Tiger Woods be the captain of this team?
I don't know. I think that will come eventually. I don't know. I think Tiger, he could have behind the scenes turned it down for all I know.
I would just think he could. I mean, those guys respect him so much. They were talking about how long he was number one. And that Scottie Scheffler would have to stay number one to catch the time that Tiger was number one in consecutive days. He would have to stay number one until 20, Chase 35 to catch Tiger's record. He'd have to stay number one. He couldn't have a – I knew Tiger was dominant, but you start looking at some of the stuff about how long he was number – till 2035, that's 10 more years he'd have to stay number one to catch Tiger.
Yeah, he's not going to do that. Scotty's a great player, but just putting has made him what he is today after being a great ball striker to start with and very good wedge player. So it's a Tiger – will probably be the captain sometime. I don't know what
situation is there. Really,
they asked Keegan Bradley. I guess he's really close, and he got close with him in the last one of the Ryder Cups or somewhere. He's real close with Michael Jordan, and obviously Michael Jordan's a big golf fan there, and he talked about it. He said, well, you know, he and Michael do talk, you know, some about it. Michael Jordan probably be a pretty cool guy to hang around the Ryder Cup team as well.
Yeah, so. He might be, right? You know, he played golf in Birmingham, so he was here. I think Michael Jordan's a terrific player. I'll leave it there. I think he's good,
sir. All right, we'll take the break here. Open the phone lines. We hear some from Coach DeBoer. We also got a vinegar tip. And so we got a lot going on. But love to have your phone calls, 205-342-9904. I think everybody's about talked out about this Florida State and Alabama's health. And they're just ready to see the game. And that's why I enjoy having JC on. We can talk about a lot of different things with JC, a lot of different teams across the country. You listen to Tide 100.9. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We've got some active road construction on 2059 moving in the westbound direction right around 359 between 359 and Joe Malisham, but absolutely no delays, so you have no worries there. 169 is starting to move a little slower, just a bit on the north.
Indulge even more for $7 or try something totally new for $9. Get yours at participating stores. Price and participation may vary. Limited time. Drinks exclude freezes. Tax extra.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours road.
Every day is a place that you can hang out, eat, or let the kids play in the wall ball area. We're the only place your party size doesn't matter. Focused on family, come visit one of the 5 restaurants at the Venue Tuscaloosa.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
City of Alabama. This is Crimson Tide today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR, streaming live each Tuesday and Thursday at 2 p.m. Central on all CTSN social media platforms at UA_CTSN. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. On Thursday's edition of Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR, we'll be joined by Alabama's Quay Rousseau.
As a defense, I feel like we are like really playing to transform the identity. Everybody decided to improve from last year. We know we didn't do as well. I mean, we had a lot of takeaways, but especially at the sack production, getting to the quarterback, we really wasn't our best last year. So as a defensive front and a whole defense, that's something we really got to improve on this year, and we've been working on it this whole offseason. Ultimately, we want to win a national championship. I feel like for this team, the sky's the limit. From a standpoint, from the locker room, everybody are very locked in to relationship-wise.
I'll have more in a moment. Hey, Bama fans, each Tuesday and Thursday at 2 p.m. Central, join us live for Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR. This live streaming talk show features the latest on Alabama athletics with exclusive conversations with Tide student athletes, coaches, and media members giving their perspective on the Crimson Tide. You can watch on YouTube, Facebook, and X, with all conversations archived as well on the Alabama Insider Podcast. Roll Tide with Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR. If you missed last night's edition of Hey Coach and the Kalen DeBoer Show, catch it on demand on the Alabama Insider Podcast, as well as the video stream on all Alabama Athletics social media platforms. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Increasingly cloudy today. We'll have a chance of showers, mainly this afternoon and tonight. The high today, 83. Tonight's low, 64. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. A few showers around, the high, 81. Saturday, only isolated showers, the high, 82. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 67 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. Thanks to Mike Norholtz. Mike sent me a text about Tiger. And I guess he asked, I don't know if it's ChatGPT or who he asked, but did Tiger turn down being the Ryder Cup captain? And Mike sent me, yes, Tiger Woods turned down the opportunity to serve as captain for the U.S. team at the 2025 Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black in New York. He was widely considered the top choice for the role following the U.S. team's 16.5-11.5 loss to Europe in 2023. But Woods ultimately declined due to his extensive commitments elsewhere. Woods explained that his responsibilities on the PGA Tour Policy Board, including ongoing negotiations with Saudi Arabia's that PIF fund there, just had him too busy to do that. So there you go.
I'll tell you right now, you are a little, I don't know if you've been born. Mike Norholtz, I recruited him from over in Georgia. What a cotton-picking player he was, boy. Whew, got 52 again.
Well, don't say anything bad about him because he's listening right now.
That bad. I'm bad.
No, you know, I'm just kidding.
I had to be sure everything was just right.
Would he be worth in the NIL days now?
No, he'd be worth a pot full of boy. He could really play. He was he was terrific.
There, Mike, you were ahead of your time, Mike. You could be making millions now.
Yeah, he was ahead of his time. We had to be darn sure his ankles were taped and all that stuff for his dad, but Booger Bear could really play. So.
I know his son, Chris. I coached in Georgia when his son, Chris, was there. I think he's killed it in business now. All right, let's get to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Tom.
Good morning. How are y'all this morning?
I figured that golf talk would stir you up a little bit.
That what?
Golf talk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Ryder Cup. I always do. It's a fun thing to watch and so forth, but I enjoy the Ryder Cup. I'm like Coach. I like it. And I'm glad Keegan decided not to select himself. I thought that was good. Some of the more experienced golfers, older golfers that's been down that road before, they didn't think it was such a good idea. Tom Watson is who I'm talking about. And I agree. I think that his energies need to be more focused. Your point to the Europeans and their desire and drive to win that cup is greater than the Americans. The Americans want to win it, but I just think that the Europeans in the last little while, they've had a more of a team mentality and a better fit for a productive team than the Americans have. The Americans got great golfers, but they're not team-oriented type, and they don't fit for some reason.
Yeah.
They don't fit. But now, you could see it on the Europeans. They were getting ready with camaraderie and all of that kind of good stuff here for the last month and a half. And to your point, I think it's valid about them wanting it more. And I do think they will beat the Americans. I hope they don't, but I think they will.
Yeah, I do too. I think Doug and them don't, but I hear you. It's going to be a wild environment up in New York, but I think those guys thrive in that. I think it may put a little more pressure on our guys to be. We can imagine the pressure an event like that. These guys aren't playing for any money, really, but the pressure of hitting those shots and all that, how much pressure's on these guys. and how they all of them stand up in it. You know, I mean, they play well, but
the one factor in all of it is the putter. The putter is going to be a critical part. People like to talk about long drives. Naturally, you need to talk about position for your second shot. But when you get down to it, the ability to be a consistent putter on these greens, I don't know. I'm sure they'll be very fast. The wind doesn't have anything to do with it as much as it would overseas. But I think the United States has an advantage with the crowd, which I know the crowd doesn't play. But I think they have an advantage with the crowd. I just think that they maybe be the underdogs. I think they're going to do well.
Hope you're right.
I hope you're right. It's just something on the last three Ryder Cup teams hadn't been quite right, and it started to me the tension on the team. Not that it's a lot or contention, but it started when Spieth told the captain that he refused to play with what's his name, that cheater from Georgia over there. What's his name? Pat what?
Yeah, I know.
That's where it started, in my opinion. And Spieth said, "I ain't playing with him. Yeah, I play with anybody else, but I'm not playing with him." And do you remember that? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
How about Cantley not wanting to wear the hat? You know, just silly stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I almost said something, but crap like that, you know, that don't help the team thing. You know, you're looking for unification. Everybody wear a cap. Everybody wear the same kind of cap, wearing the same shirts and all that. You know, all that's to build unity and camaraderie and all like that. Then you got one jackass walk around, "I ain't wearing a hat." You know, that's stupid.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it sounds stupid. It sounds little, but those things aren't little when you're on a team.
Yeah, that's individualism. Yeah. You know, he's playing the individual card, and you're at a team event. I mean, and to me, when it started with Spieth, I can't think of that guy's name. He won the Masters. He's a cheater. Everybody knows he's a cheater. Spieth didn't want to be paired with him. And nobody from Georgia even speak to him, and yet he was on the team. And Spieth said, "Why don't I get stuck with him?" And I don't blame him.
Are you talking about Patrick? What's Patrick? What's his last?
He won the Masters.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, he did. You know who I'm talking about? But
yeah,
he's a cheater. Kisner and Harris.
Patrick
and
Reed. You talking about Patrick Reed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Patrick Reed, he's a cheater. And and all those guys that was on that Georgia team went to that coach, and they told him, "Look, we ain't playing with him. You can kick him off the team, or we're leaving." And he kicked him off the team because he got caught cheating trying to get on the travel team. And they ain't forgot it. Now, everybody else, "Oh, well, you got to forget. It's okay." But they hadn't forgot it.
Yeah.
And Spieth, it was comrades with all those guys, same years in college, and he didn't want to be stuck with him. And that dissension amongst that team started right there, and now it's carried out, and the unity is not what it should be.
I agree. Good call, Tom.
Really?
Thank you.
Yeah, I do. I know. It's crazy. You and I agree sometimes.
I know. Something's going on. I've got to check my water.
Yeah, and I don't think we're going to win the Ryder Cup either, unfortunately. And I hate it. Yeah. I really – Keegan Bradley.
You already say you hate it, but we didn't keep it up.
I just don't think we're going to win.
I don't care what – any of you say it's the putter. It's the putter.
I agree.
But I do like Keegan Bradley. I grew a lot of respect for him yesterday listening to him.
I do too. I've always liked him. You know, he's got a big family and kids and all like that. I really have enjoyed Keegan over the years.
The good thing about him, Tom, he's a no name, and a no name is really good in that particular case. That's exactly right.
You know, he's never done all this crazy crap to get attention. Call to himself, you know what I mean, but he's just a good guy.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, let's talk about Bryant Bank. When we get back, we'll have that vinegar tip for this Thursday.
Boy, I'm telling you right now, the vinegar tips are tough. Bryant Bank, four locations in Tuscaloosa, one very close to Barry and I. Outstanding bank throughout the state. They'll be your bank if you'll go in there. They'll know you the second time you go in there. After the first time, the schools around the bank where your kids go will have a impact there. Go in and get a personal or business account of both, and tell me you heard on Inside the Locker Room. The one and most important thing I say is your money's going to be safe. There are a lot of crooks people trying to figure out how to get to you. Keep your stuff safe with Bryant Bank, and you can bank around the clock, online around the clock. So do what you wish, but listen to what Barry and I believe, and go by Bryant Bank, and it'll please us, please them too.
Four locations here in the Northport, Tuscaloosa area. Talk with David Kendra yesterday. We'll talk with him tomorrow as well. But these guys are great people out at Bryant Bank. They'll take great care of you. We get back, Chase, the vinegar tip for this Thursday. He says these vinegar tips are getting tough. We're not even a month in. You're going to dig up some more vinegar tips, or Michael McGuire's going to be going to another show.
Oh, I got pretty good.
You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC is the home of Alabama Sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Not bad at all. As you move about Tuscaloosa freeways and side streets, you got some road construction is all. And 2059 eastbound before Joe Malisham, you've got that road work. On the eastbound lanes also at Tuscaloosa Colling University Boulevard.
Day, fair, fun, and fast.
The right product at the right place.
That's why people shop Townsend Nissan.
Scott and Boulevard, Tuscaloosa.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours road.
Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Alabama fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good. So good.
Welcome back to Inside the Line. I don't even remember. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Yesterday's tip was, if it was coming out of both ends.
Vomiting and diarrhea.
Oh, good. All right, this tip's brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. All you got to do is go to coverage4TTown.com. That'll pull up his website right there. Or easier, just call him. 205-752-8500. Tell him what you're looking for. He'll get you a quote there. I've switched over, saving a ton of money with Michael, but also got just as much coverage. So I appreciate he is State Farm sponsoring this Blue Plate special, because I don't know if he's using any of these things or not. But what is it for this Thursday?
Well, I vomiting and diarrhea, that's big, and all this stuff I've been giving is kind of personal.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted me to give some rectal stuff, but I hadn't given
that. Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, today I'm going to talk a little bit about the smell of your hands. We got a lot of guys that go fishing, and they get the fish, and the wives get the fish, and they're all got that fishy crap all over their hands. And then we got wives who are cutting onions all the time in the house, making something for Barry or somebody, whatever. And they messing with garlic all over, leaves their hands smelling to high heaven, stinky hands. And you don't want to go back into your kitchen with those smelly hands, and smell up your hands, and I mean, smut up your kitchen and smut up everybody around. You got, and there's a lot more than that that makes the smell. I don't really, can't name them all. So what you do, if you got all those smelly hands, you cut all that stuff up, you're ready, and you don't want to hug, you don't want to put your arms around your husband and hug him with smelly hands. You got to splash a little vinegar into the palm of one hand. Splash some vinegar. I'd go almost a teaspoon and rub your hands together before you tackle it. And I think you're going to find that rubbing your hands together with it, rub them hard now with that vinegar, that you won't have a smelly kitchen and you won't have smelly hands. And somebody knocks on the door, and you got to go to it to say hello and shake hands with them. Your hands will be good. So take care of those smelly hands, what you do, not only the men, but the women as well.
Basically, vinegar takes care of any bad smell, because you talk about feet.
You ask about smelly feet.
Well, you did feet.
Yes, we've already talked about smelly feet, so we ain't talking about that again. But, you know, you can take them socks off after you run around. Stinky feet. I don't think surely you're not going to get into bed with a stinky feet, but there's some people, if they stay on the bed long enough, I've been having problems with the bed. You got them stinky feet, then you got real problems. You got to wash them cotton picking socks after one deal, too. I'll throw that in. It'll be stinky.
So, all right. So, if you're cooking this weekend, you're getting ready for the game, and you're using onions or whatever you want, get you some vinegar.
Garlic. Stink. Yeah.
Maybe you could gargle it if you got stinky breath. Does it do anything to your breath?
You got stinky breath, that kissing will be over with. There won't be no kissing if you got stinky breath.
Brush your teeth with vinegar, Chase.
Yeah, you can brush your teeth with vinegar. I don't brush my vinegar, but I ain't doing no kissing, so I guess it'd be all
you
right.
Brush it with some vinegar, Chase. Michael? That's what you're paying for, Michael. That's brought to you by State Farm Insurance and Michael McGuire. Give him a call today. Tell him that you heard the vinegar tip, and that he probably, if you switch your insurance to Michael, he'll probably give you a bottle of vinegar. 205.
I guarantee you, he bought me a bottle of
it. Yeah, he'll get you a free bottle of vinegar. You'll have fresh feet, fresh hands, and new insurance, and you'll be ready to go. So, Chase, kick that song up for us. These people, they'll feel good. All right, let's practice. We'll take a break. We're going to practice and play our Kenny Rogers, get him ready for the blue plate special. He's not going to pick it, but maybe give us three or four games that you're looking at, and let's practice, because tomorrow we're going to have to play the Gambler. And this is Larry the Music Man's idea, and that will be the walk-up music for the Blue Plate Special that is brought to you by our great friend Brian Harden with Brian Harden Construction. When you need strength, precision, and reliability, trust the team that's been building Tuscaloosa Beyond for over 30 years. Who is that, Chase? That's Brian Harden Construction. They're your partner in industrial fabrication, steelwork, and heavy equipment services, from custom welding and structural steel to 24/7 crane rentals. No job is too big or too tough. Family owned, woman led, safety driven. That's Brian Harden Construction. 205-759-1337. Or go to bhardenconst.com. All right, let's practice that when we get back from break. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Go inside the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Hey, it's Gary Harris. Thursday morning at 9 a.m., the coach Ellis Johnson joins us to preview week one of the college football season, the SEC, Alabama, and Florida State, plus Jeff Spiegel, sports anchor at ABC 3340, and your phone calls. That's the Gary Harris Show, Thursday morning at 9 a.m.
Catch the Gary Harris Show Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. on Tide 100.9 and Tide 100.9.com.
Tide 100.9. Traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Not bad, not bad at all. As you move about Tuscaloosa freeways and side streets, you got some road construction is all. And 2059 eastbound before Joe Malisham, you've got that road work. On the eastbound lanes also at Tuscaloosa Colling University Boulevard.
$3. It's steak night every night of the week. Choose yours today at participating stores for a limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Tax extra.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside.
Amphitheater.com. Make a night to remember. Pitbull, live in concert. For more, hit pitbullmusic.com. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Increasingly cloudy today. We'll have a chance of showers, mainly this afternoon and tonight. The high today, 83. Tonight's low, 64. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. A few showers around, the high, 81. Saturday, only isolated showers, the high, 82. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 68 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Play the game, boy. You gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting.
And welcome back to Inside the Locker. So tomorrow when we pick the Blue Plate Special, that'll be the mock-up music there. Maybe tell them about some games that you're looking at and studying there.
Well, I don't know exactly. I'll tell them too much. I've looked everything from Ohio State to Texas all the way down through the SEC teams. Sometimes you try to find a team that maybe nobody – thinks about. You know, last time I picked West Kentucky, everybody said, huh, what, who they playing, all that, you know, jazz, Mraz. They didn't know much about West Kentucky, and I didn't either, except I thought they threw the football a lot. If I had known they were so poor defensively as they were, I might not have picked them. But I thought when you throw the football a lot and you're pass defense is being taught, you've got new players, that's the kind of team that you try to consider. And so I can't figure out between Manning and I think the quarterback at Ohio State, say, is really good player. I'd give anything he'd stay at Alabama, although I'm pleased that Ty gets to play. Manning's under the gun a lot, so I've looked at that game. I've looked at LSU. I think home field advantage is a big advantage there. I've tried to figure that out. So it's just hard to really. I don't know really any one particular this particular week that I've picked. I mean, I've thought about that. It's kind of a Cincinnati and playing. I think they're playing tonight, aren't they? They're playing tonight. And guy does a good job coaching. So anyway, I'm confused. I'm probably not going to. I thought about doing that three game deal, but I'm not going to do that. It's a little bit too quick for me to do it. The line is confusing a little bit, and the injury factor to. To some of these teams is if it's as costly as everybody says, it's costly. So the other factor that you have in trying to pick games is we talk on radio and TV, but we don't really know how the quarterback's going to play. And I know it's the offensive line. I got all that. But we don't really know how they're going to play. We think, we guess, we gamble. That's what people do, and it is a gamble, and Barry's been correct in saying I looked out. I did look out. That's what you gamble about. The guy got down to the goal line, and I said, in my mind, I said, this over, I lost. And all of a sudden, he does something that we're throwing for a loss, and they don't score. So you got to be lucky with it.
Yeah, all right, let's get to the Yellowwood hotline here. We'll bring Ragged Glory in. Good morning, Ragged Glory.
Morning. Hey, you, good morning, guys, and thanks for taking my call. Sorry I'm a day late, dollar short. Just been scrambling all morning. I just wanted to ask, hey, Coach Wimp, do you have a home remedy for getting rid of ant piles? We started getting this infestation of ants, and I didn't know if it was going to be vinegar or if you just have
I think a little vinegar with a little insect stuff in mixed in that vinegar would do it.
It'll kill a weed. It'll kill an ant pile.
Yeah, I think it will. If you'll get your little vinegar, put a little bit of poison in there with it, and they'll go to that vinegar quick. And when they taste it, they'll turn to each other and say, "I think I'm dead." So, all those ants will. Yeah, those ants
well, I obviously bleached it and do it. So, yeah, I just didn't want to go out and spend $1 million.
I didn't know an ant could talk. He said, look at each other and say, we're about to be dead?
Yeah, they don't look at each other. They're highly intelligent.
They're highly intelligent.
All right, you try that out, Ragged. Let us know how it works out for you.
You got it. I'll let you guys know. Hey,
thank you.
Have a great day.
Thank you. All right, that's it for today's show. A little football tonight, a lot of football tomorrow, and a ton of football this weekend. So we'll watch a little football tonight and break it down. We'll get you ready. We'll find out Sonny Smith's thoughts on football season tomorrow if we can find
him. He doesn't know Auburn's playing.
Yes, he does. All right, that's it for today's show. We appreciate the Gary Harris Show is next. So keep it locked in. You're listening to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great day, everybody.